The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen. Who are you? Who are you really? Identity. Identification is a necessity and essential in the lives of everyone. In your life, too. I know you've had experience with identity. How many times have you not been asked to identify yourself? Maybe when you went to get a loan in the bank. Maybe when you applied for insurance. Even here at the seminary, you had to identify yourself so that you could be admitted. It is especially true of leaders that identity is very important. And it is also true of our Lord Jesus Christ. Identity. He himself was concerned with it, for did he not a number of times ask his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am? Who am I?" And they said, "You are the Christ." People were always concerned about the identity of Jesus, and even John the Baptist was, especially his disciples were. We're thankful for this particular identity situation, for it is so very helpful, and it so clearly sets forth the function and the ministry of John the Baptist as the messenger of the Lord, the way preparer for the promised one. Let us look at this identity situation. We can consider it in the form of a question. Jesus, are you the Christ? Are you really the Christ? Are you really the one who is to come, or do we look for another? You can readily see this was an identity situation, was it not? How did it come about? It came about very understandingly. We can see how. John the Baptizer began his work there in the wilderness on the banks of Jordan. He began to preach repentance, saying, "Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand." He began to point to the one who is to come, saying that he is in the midst. And then even came the day when Jesus arrived there on Jordan's bank and asked John to baptize him. And John beheld that only visible manifestation of Trinity, the Son on the bank, the voice of the Father from heaven, "This is my beloved Son," and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. John pointed before all of his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." But then things happened, didn't they? Herod arrested John and put him in prison way down there in the dungeon. The disciples were shocked, and they began to wonder, "Isn't this the messenger of the king? Isn't the king here? Where is the kingdom? If the king is here and the kingdom is here, why doesn't the king function to save his great herald?" You see, it was very confusing. Did John wonder? I'm not of the opinion that he did, although it would be possible, don't you think so? For even some of the saints, the great men and women of God, were tried, prophets, Elijah, "Lord, I'm the only one left in Israel." I know the disciples had questions, but really, The disciples of John were the ones who really needed the identity to be fixed. They really needed to know, is this really the Christ, the one foretold in prophecy? Is this truly the messenger of the covenant? Is this truly the star of Judah? Is this truly the son of David who shall establish the reign of David's kingdom forever? But whether John himself had misgivings or not, it doesn't matter. But we know that John was a wonderful witness to the Lord. And he chose the very best way of getting that identity crisis settled. He sent two of his disciples to Jesus directly. John knew that the Lord Jesus himself would give the clear answer and would clearly identify himself properly. You know, that identity crisis arises again and again, and I'm quite sure that it has probably also arisen at one time or another in your life. It is mostly with those who have been introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ, namely those who are in the kingdom, the visible kingdom at least, of our Lord, the Christian church, Christendom. How many people have not come to the question, are you really Jesus? Are you really the Christ? When in the very bottom, in the very pits of despair almost, they were hurting, they were struggling. If Christ knows me, if Christ loves me, if I am his, why? Why am I in the dungeon here? Great numbers of peoples have been confronted with that identity crisis concerning Jesus. And maybe you too have fought through that. Maybe you too have wondered, for I know some of you have had great problems. We must remember that the true reality, the true identity of Jesus does not depend upon our experiences. Now, how did Jesus answer this question? To establish his identity, to establish that he is really the Christ, the true Son of God, the Savior foretold of old, he said to these disciples, you know what's taking place? Go tell John, and of course all the other disciples of John, what you see and hear. Remember, the Messiah was to come to open the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, the tongues of the dumb. He was to come with healing and health. He was even to raise the dead, and he was going to preach the gospel to the poor. And all these things you are seeing fulfilled in your very presence. Go tell John that. That's my identity. That's my ID. Yes, I am the Christ, the one long foretold. Go tell him, and doubt no longer. Blessed is he who is not offended, really who doubts and takes exception to me. These very same works, and remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, didn't go around doing these miraculous things just to show off, but to establish his identity as the true one, the Son of God, who had come to seek and to save that which was lost. His miracles were supportive and identifying. And that's what Jesus here says. Go tell John. Here you can see from my ministry and from the great works that I have done that I am truly he. You know, you and I have these same supportive, clearly identifying works of Jesus to reassure us Not only do we read them in the inspired Gospels, not only do we see down through the ages of time how the Lord Jesus manifested his power and his works in the lives of those who were his followers, but we ourselves experience these great works. These, and shall we say, even more than these, for we can look to Jesus, not only what he did for others, but what in his own body upon the tree he did for all of us, including you and me. We can look to him hanging there on the cross, the Lamb of God, spotless, suffering, dying, bearing the whole wrath of the just Heavenly Father, who rejected him because he took our place before the tribunal of justice and under the law of God. But we don't only see him die, we see him not raising the dead, but raising himself. He arose on the third day victorious over all to establish once and forever the victory that is his. The crucified Lamb lives and reigns to all eternity, blessed God over all. And we behold his cross, and we see the wounds in his hands, and even in glory we shall behold him, the victorious Lamb. He identified himself without a doubt, very clearly. He is the Christ of God, the Holy One, the Savior, the Redeemer of all the world. And you know, it is so wonderful that Jesus gave these evidences to you and to me in a very specific and wonderful way. In this day and time, in this day, and in this hour, and in this place, even he comes. Not just in word, but in reality. He comes in that wonderful mystery of the sacrament, and he comes himself with that same body, with that same blood that was sacrificed on Calvary. And as you receive it, he says, I am he, and your sins are forgiven, and you are mine. And to all this, you are the witnesses. Yes, you are the messengers. And as we in this Advent season look forward to that great, marvelous mystery of the incarnation and the coming of Jesus in the flesh, let us follow in the footsteps of that great one whom Jesus called the greatest of women born, John the Baptizer. And let us remember, we are not so great, and yet, because of Jesus, our faith and trust in him and our oneness with him, we are greater than John. Come then, know the true and wonderful Jesus the Christ. Receive him. Rejoice. Go forth, rejoice greatly, and the peace of the Lord is with you. Amen.